Now, today I am talking about this exclamation point of thanksgiving, all right? Now, you don't use the exclamation point mark very much, do you, in life? I mean, probably we use it more now than ever since we text, right? You're always putting an exclamation point on there, you know, and getting it all done. I think at least I do. We've just finished up a series of questions about, you know, what does the Bible have to say about, is the Bible anti-science? Can science and the Bible work together? What does God's word have to say about slavery? What is the Bible pro-slavery? Is God anti-sex? We've talked about all those kind of things with question marks at the end. Well, today we look at other punctuations, and we like to talk about the exclamation of thanksgiving. I know we all have questions in life, but at the end of life, I don't want my life to be a question mark. I want people to know who I was, what I stood for, what I believed in, what I wanted people to know. I don't want them to think, what was the only thing, you know, that John was always asking, did you clean up that your room, you know? Is the economy ever going to turn around? How are we going to pay for this? He was always the guy of great questions. There we go. That's a great question. I'm doing better, though, this week than I did last week with that. And of course, one we always ask is, where's the remote? How many of you asked that question? Dad could never find the remote. How about, where are my glasses? Anybody seen my glasses? Or would you dial my phone? I can't find it. would you call me on my cell phone? I can't find it. Sometimes those question marks are always come. Are we always asking questions? What's the punctuation of our life? I don't want the memory of me to be a comma either, just a brief pause between a myriad of things that I'm doing or achieving. But I want my life to pause enough to hear and share life with others, to hear others' pains and victories and successes, and it not be all about my life between the commas. Commas are most used in run-on sentences. Do you ever write run-on sentences? You know, I think we all have a tendency to write run-on sentences, and sometimes life can be like run-on sentences, running from this thing, brief pause, to that thing, brief pause, grab some McDonald's, and here we go, and off to that, and off to that, and back to church, and over here, and over there, and just brief pauses, and sometimes we forget the eternal things that we need to meet in the pause, and that is, how was your day, honey? How was school? And we pause, and maybe it's larger than a brief comma between all the activity of life. One of the great, grand, classic run-on sentences is found at the beginning of The Tale of Two Cities. How many of you have ever read that? Yeah, most of you waited for the movie to come out, I see. Because the opening sentence really sort of discourages you from reading the whole book. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct to the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good, for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. Period. Is that what your life sounds like sometimes? We got to get here, we got to get there, we got to get here, we got to get here. We got to shop, we got to get that gift, we got to get and the people we are with, the stories that are being made, the laughter, the love, the shared companionship, sometimes we don't pause enough to share the most meaningful and most wonderful things in all of our hurry and rush of accomplishment and planning. I don't want my life to be read like that, that John did this and John did that and John accomplished this and John accomplished that. John accomplished this and he did that and he did that. I want to be... John loved us. John loved people. John loved God. John loved the Word of God. He paused and showed us that. We can become known as people who are always on the move and always achieving. And they got the next item on the list. We got to check off. We got the next thing on the bucket list. We got to get done. We got the next thing rung in the ladder that we've got to climb in the company. There's a string of stuff that always needs attention. And this week really turns on the heat, doesn't it? And I don't mean about the turkey, but really turns on the heat of getting everything done and everything accomplished. And you got to have a good plan or it just doesn't get done. But the most important thing at your table on Thursday are the people who gather. Burn the turkey. Love the people. You know, don't deliberately burn it. We'll try not to burn it at our house where we're going to eat. But it's more important, the people who are there and the time we share together. It should be a comma, right? A pause to remember. Well, we don't want to rush from one thing to the other. We also don't want those periods to come up in life, do we? Where we just put a period. Yet it's so important to unplug at times, isn't it? Do you ever notice how long it takes you to unplug from when you take a break and when you go away on a vacation and how long you have to get detached from all your routine of life? It takes me about 3 days to finally go, I'm not thinking about New Life anymore. You go, you do that? Yes, I try to do that. I'm not thinking about it anymore, you know? I got up this morning, I prayed for other things. I didn't pray for New Life. You know, I got up this morning, I walked on the beach or wherever I am, and I unplugged from all the things that normally consume me. How long does it take you? It takes me about 3 days to get out of it. That's why I have to take longer and longer vacations. Yeah. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes I've seen young people at a change in life, maybe at a critical moment, when a parent may pass and they put a period at the end of the sentence of their life and they can't move on to the next sentence that God would write for them. Sometimes there's a horrible divorce or something, and someone will just put a period at the end of that marriage and say, I can't go on. I'll never love again. It's all over. This was it. I put everything into it, and I can't go forward. And yet God is not about what happened behind. He's not all about what happened before the period, but God will walk with you after that period, and He will write a new song in your heart. Sometimes people retire and they go, this is it, period, I'm done. But God has another sentence in your life. God has something for you to do after that period. We take brief pauses. We take moments when we stop. But God is not finished with us. We can't stop there and put the period of our life there and only talk about what has happened and not with future. Look what God is doing in our life now and what He will do in our future. Sometimes we go, wow, my life isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be when I was 16. Why, God, isn't it idealistic as I had planned? I don't have what I'm supposed to have. I've got to accomplish. I've got to strive and strive and strive with brief moments of pause in the comma. I don't have the life I used to have. So let's just put a period and stop it all. It's easy to get caught up into all of those things. It's easy for us to get caught up into not appreciating where we are. not appreciating the people around us, not appreciating what we have. It's easy for us to not give thanks for what we have and only look at what we want. We come up after the Thanksgiving season to the great season of what I want. Right? The great season of what's on my list to get. Have you already turned in your order? I did already. Said, see this? This is sort of ripped up and stuff. I could use another one of these. Yeah. What we have, are we grateful? Do we see it as a provision from God's hand? So this week, let us, with exclamation, give thanks to God. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. How about one more time, standing up and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Can find a seat. It's a great song, huh? Counting every blessing. I hope you will count every blessing that you have received from the hand of God this week. All right? Throughout the Bible, we find these exclamations of thanksgiving, and certainly in Israel's history, we find this moments of a comma when they fought this battle, and they went on and fought that battle, and they went on and fought that battle, comma, that battle, comma, that battle, comma. They won this one, they lost that one, that it goes on and on and on. If you list their history, there were times in Israel's history where they came up and there was a period there. They were backed up by the Red Sea, and here came Pharaoh at them, and they thought it was over. Matter of fact, they complained against their leader and says, "Why have you brought us out in this desert for us to just die here? We should have stayed back in Egypt." It was a period when they got to Canaan land. They were there, and they went, and they spied on Canaan, the land that God had promised them, and they said, "Oh, their cities are too big and too powerful, and there are giants in the land, and we can't go," and they put a period. Sometimes it seems as though the path forward is impossible, and we put a period there, and we stop, and we only look what was, and we have no faith to believe for what will be. Today, believe for what will be. What God has put in your heart, He will accomplish. What God has promised you, He will bring it to pass. This is the truth of who God is. Don't let a period determine where you will stop and only look back. Israel kept moving forward, even though there were times when all the punctuation of their life was there. But one time, in 1 Chronicles 16, we read that they took a moment, they took a day of celebration, a day of thanksgiving. Certainly Israel stopped along the way on their wilderness journey, and they would pile up rocks and offer sacrifice, and they would give thanks to God. But here, it was in this moment, when the land was fairly secure, and David, King David, had fought the Philistines and had conquered, and David had conquered Jerusalem, the place where the Jebusites were living, and he had conquered them, and now this emerald city of the land of Canaan was his. It was Israel's, and David had made it the capital of Israel. And now, to finish it off, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant, that box that they'd carried, a golden box that they had carried across the wilderness experience, that had been a reminder that God was with them, a box that contained the Ten Commandments, and the rod of Moses in that, or the rod of Aaron was in that box. And David was bringing that box, this presence of God, this symbol of God's presence, to the capital city of Israel. It was coming out of the home of the man who had been caring for it, and it was going to the capital city of Jerusalem. And David got really, really, really excited about it. As a matter of fact, the scripture says David had horns blowing and people singing and all those kind of things, and David got so excited about it, he was dancing in the streets. He even pulled off his coat and started dancing in the streets. He pulled off a little more than that, if you read the scripture, and started dancing in the streets. David was so happy, didn't want anything to inhibit his praise of God. He was having a great time. An exclamation point. It was all in capital letters, right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Caps, caps, caps. Exclamation point, as loud as we can. This is what it says in 1 Chronicles. They brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings, the peace offerings, before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Sounds like Thanksgiving, right? Got a little carbs, got some protein, and dessert. David gave them a Thanksgiving meal. It was time to eat. It was time to celebrate for the abundance that God had blessed them with. David goes on to appoint the Levites to sing around the Ark of the Covenant all the time, 24/7. It was a 24/7 worship service going on all the time. Thus, the book of Psalms that were written for that occasion and for the continuation of the praise around the Ark of the Covenant. Matter of fact, Psalm 106, where we have the statement that we've said this morning, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever," came from that passage that was written for this particular occasion, or out of this particular occasion. Celebration and thanksgiving should be ingrained into our lives. Sometimes when we put a period in our lives and we go, we can't go forward, we can't see a future, we can't have faith in God, we can't have hope in God for the next sentence of our life, we tend to complain. We tend to complain and we tend to get bitter. We tend to fall into despair, into discouragement, anxiety. But God says, "I have a hope and a future for you." Even in the middle of the mess of life, God has a next sentence for you that is coming. Be faithful, be willing to start writing the next sentence of your life. In these various ways, God used Israel, and Israel blessed him in thanksgiving. And will we give thanks to God for what he has done? As we look back over life, how God has directed our path, I remember it was such an interesting moment. And just last week, Patrice and I celebrated 36 years of marriage, so that's always really a big deal for me. Yeah, that was always a great thing. But I went to my first church out of Bible college down in Memphis, Tennessee. I almost developed a Southern accent, but not quite. All right? I was there for a short period, and there was a discontentment in my heart. My parents came to visit, and I said, "There's just this discontentment in my heart. I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. I like the people. It's great church. It's everything, you know, no big problems or anything like that." And so my parents prayed with me. I went off to a youth conference after they left that weekend. I came back, and when I opened up my apartment door, my phone was ringing. I went and answered the phone. It was the pastor at Patrice's church down in Wood River, Illinois. He said, "Would you like to consider coming to our church to be a youth and music guy?" I said, "I don't know." We went through the process. I ended up there. I met Patrice there. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And sometimes he makes us discontent because he has a place for us that he wants us to be, to do what he wants to do in our lives. I always go back to that moment of standing in the living room of my little apartment and my dad praying loudly. My dad only prayed loudly. He didn't know soft prayers. He prayed very loudly. My dad praying that day and me taking off to my little conference and coming back, and my little Radio Shack phone was ringing. That was before cell phones. I know that was like ancient history now. But how wonderful God directs our path. He has a different thing that's coming. Don't stop. Keep believing. Remain faithful. And give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So let us say it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Will you stand with me? And we'll say it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
What gift of love could I offer to a king? What weight or worth could be held within my offering? When he alone is worthy, a glory song is inscribed upon my heart. This treasure held in an alabaster jar, I pray to bring him all the glory. What gift of
This Thursday, we celebrate a point in our country. We call it Thanksgiving. It's a moment when we pause. And it was a moment that was defined by William Bradford, the governor of that small colony of 110 pilgrims that had made it through the winter, but not 110 made it through the last winter. It was 50% of them perished during the winter and the hardship, and they'd spent all summer trying to build shelter and trying to gather food so that they didn't have the same thing that happened to them this winter that was coming. As a matter of fact, there was such discouragement among the group that some were ready to board the ship and head back home. But then a ship came into the harbor with more food and medical supplies, and they were re-encouraged and they were lifted up, but many of them had already put a period and said, we just can't do another winter, we'll never make it. Some died of malnutrition, some of disease and cold. The winter was hard. Lots of commas in struggle and struggle after struggle after struggle. But it was in 1621 that William Bradford proclaimed that this day would be known as Thanksgiving. and that the community there would pause from its work, would pause from its toiling, would pause from its building of shelter and all those things as they prepared for the next winter, and they would give thanks to God. I'm sure when he declared that some people said, well, it's been a hard time. Maybe we just ought to work for the next 24 hours and get ready for this winter that's coming because we don't know how bad it's going to be. It's important for us to pause and with exclamation give thanks to God. For he preserves us and he provides for us. He gives us grace to have hope for eternity always. It was 390 years ago or so that the Governor Bradford made that declaration to us. It was over 3,000 years ago that David said, stop everything. Let's bring the presence of God, that symbol of the presence of God, to Jerusalem, and let's celebrate and let's give thanks. Let's even assign people to just live their lives giving thanks and praise to God. It's the daily demands between the commas that sometimes captivate everything that we are, doesn't it? It might be the inevitable hardship that sometimes defines us and puts periods in our life that cause us to wonder if we really want to go on. But God is a God of hope. God is a God who always provides us with a hope and a future. For in the middle of life's mess that is always fluctuating up and down, our economy is up and down. Do you have that little app on your phone and you push and you see how the stock market did today? You guys don't? Don't get addicted to it. It's terrible. It goes up and down. There's red and there's green and it just don't even watch it. I do sometimes. It's crazy. It goes up and down. The relationships with people sometimes, are there anybody that's not going to be at your Thanksgiving table that was there last year, but because of a little conflict we've had this year, they're not going to be there this year? We have those kind of things going on in our families and, what do we do? And yet the relationship with God is constant. If we will put our faith and our hope in him, the relationship with him never changes. He always loves us because his love will endure forever. It is constant. It is faithful. It is consistent. And it is enough in all of life's struggle. So, Thursday, give thanks to God for what you have. Don't think of what you want and what you wish you had. Just give thanks to God for what you have. For the Lord has provided it all for you. I know in America sometimes we are self-made people and we don't see the provision of God. We see what we have done to do it. Give thanks to God for the health you had, the abilities he gave you, the strength, the air. Thank God that you were born here. Thank God that you were able to come to this country and celebrate in this feast of Thanksgiving. Thank God that he brought you here and he directed your path to be here in this moment, at this time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Maybe you would even open up Psalm 106 and read the first and the final verses of that chapter, which is the opening phrase of give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Maybe you would give thanks to the eternal things at your table, and that is the people who will gather around it. You're all going to live forever somewhere. Give thanks for the people at your table. Put more commas in your life. Pause and listen to the pain. Share the love. There are times to have periods, but move past them and let God write the next chapter of your life. But on Thursday, let us lift up voice, hand and heart, and say thanks be to God for his unthinkable love. Thanks be to God that when we could not help ourselves, that he sent a Savior to die on a cross for us, that we could have eternal life with him forever, that we could be forgiven, that we could be restored, and even in our darkest moment, we could find light and hope. For this is who Jesus is. So would you stand with me one more time? And would you give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever.